This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
On today's program, we're going to be discussing the Ark of the Covenant with Chris McKinney, a professor of archaeology at Lipscomb University. We presented this interview last fall, and we're presenting it once again now because the documentary that Chris researched is finally hitting the theaters. It's called Legends of the Lost Ark. But before we get into that, we have to go back to last fall when the discovery of an amazing clay seal impression had just been announced. Before we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, we had to discuss this important news about a piece of pottery with writing on it that linked the Assyrian Empire with the King of Judah.
It's an enormous deal, and thanks for having me on, Gordon. This is a great opportunity to talk about, you know, fun stuff. You know, we could nerd out all the time about biblical archaeology. And this is one of those things that's like, wow, this little bitty fragment has so much to tell us. And in this case, we have so much context around it. We know from the Bible, especially the books of 2 Kings and Isaiah and Micah, how the Assyrian Empire took over the kingdom of Judah and led to this massive conflict between Hezekiah, king of Judah, and Sennacherib, specifically in the year 701 BC. But there's much more to the story. The story goes back to the mid-730s, and it continues all the way to probably the 630s or 640s. We're not really quite sure when it ends. And that's where the kind of the mystery surrounding this object is, because the object says, or the text says, pay your taxes or else. And if they're not delivered on the first of Av, which is super ominous because Judah and Jerusalem's temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av. There's Tisha B'Av, a day of lamentation. But the mystery is, well, which year? There's more to this. And that's really one of the fascinating things about this whole discussion is the archaeologist. And I love the, we complain a lot about press releases and things. This is excellent. I mean, it's got a video, all four major scholars involved.
We put those videos on our website.
Great. It's got all of the people that are doing it. So we know that it's from the Tigris Basin because of petrography. We know where it was found. The main director of the entire area is telling us about it. And we know what it says. And they're also telling us there's more. But the issue is we don't know when it relates to. Is it that first initial time when Judah may have forgotten to pay its taxes, which could be from the reign of Ahaz? Is it the time we all hope and kind of think that it might be, which is the reign of Hezekiah in 701? Or is it sometime during the reign of Manasseh, which is a long time, 55-year period? And we do have Assyrian inscriptions telling us about Manasseh from the reigns of Sarhaddon and Ashurbanipal as giving tribute. So it could be at any stage over from the 730s through the 630s. But, of course, the most famous event in the Hebrew Bible, besides the Exodus, is this moment when Hezekiah chooses to do exactly what this text says, which is to not pay tribute to the Assyrian king, which leads to massive consequences for Jerusalem, the Shvelah, the site that I excavated at Libna for many years, Lachish and so on, and ultimately Jerusalem itself. Jerusalem is spared, but it actually, in some ways, leads to the second destruction, because even the book of Jeremiah, when everybody's saying, oh, we survived the first one in 701, we're going to survive again.
You know, looking at the pictures, you know, we have these different bulla that have been excavated that have the names of Hezekiah and Isaiah and other people on them, and they're very small. And this one looks a little bit larger. And I was reading that Assyrian bulla typically are larger, more like the size of a ping pong ball than what we're used to seeing.
That's one of the questions. I mean, I posted it on social media after, like, man, look at this great discovery. And I was mainly looking at, you know, this question of, you know, when it relates to and kind of trying to give the broader context. And a lot of Assyriologists came on and said, this looks like a letter. This looks like a tablet itself, not a bulla. And we think bulla or bule, you know, plural, in the Iron Age Israel or Judah, we're talking about a piece of clay that is sealing a document that has a seal impression on it. Well, in the Assyrian world, they actually write in multiple languages, Aramaic and Akkadian, which have different types of media. One is a papyrus sealed with a bula, so similar to what we find in Judah, although we don't find, of course, the text. We just find the bula if they're burned. And then they also could seal a cuneiform tablet, from what I understand, with a kind of envelope. So this really is more like finding a IRS default payment. You know, and the joke is, keeps going around, is the two things that always stay the same, death and taxes. And in this case, taxes or death, if you will.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about this exciting discovery that's been made of this Assyrian bula. In the meantime, we would like to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. And before I do that, let me introduce you to our audience. Here we're talking with Chris McKinney, a professor of archaeology at Lipscomb University. You got your PhD in archaeology in Israel at Bar-Ilan University. So you lived in Israel. You worked at the Tel Asafi excavation at Tel Gath with Aaron Meyer, and Tel Berna with Steve Ortiz, two archaeologists we've had on the program. You also co-host the On Script Biblical World podcast with Kyle Keimer, with some great conversations on biblical archaeology. But one of the more interesting jobs you have has been working on a movie with Gesher Media called Legends of the Lost Ark. And since we've devoted a number of programs to how the Ark got to Jerusalem, it would be good to address the topic that everybody wants to know: what happened to the Ark of the Covenant?
Thanks for all that. And I would say here at Lipscomb University, we're so excited to explore the biblical world. And one of the things I've loved about the Ark is it allows us to do just that. The more I study it, the more I'm convinced that the story of the Ark of the Covenant is essentially like the ring is to the Lord of the Rings. It is the binding piece that ties the whole story together. It is both a literary device and an actual archaeological artifact that hasn't been found. And yet we can reconstruct what it would have looked like, or have a very good idea of what it would look like based on archaeological material. It's so big, it's hard to know even where to begin. And one of the things that we developed, of course, is the film, which we're really excited about. It's coming out in the movie's called Legends of the Lost Ark, where we explore this exact question of what happened to the Ark. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the background of what happened to the Ark, but I'd also like to connect the story of the Ark with what we just talked about, this cuneiform letter fragment, whatever it is. One of the things that Indiana Jones gets wrong is that the last we hear of the Ark is with Shishak or Solomon. When Solomon puts it in the temple, you know, that's it. In the book of Isaiah and in the book of 2 Kings, which are parallel passage, you could also put 2 Chronicles there, Hezekiah receives a letter from an Assyrian official, not unlike what we just found, and he gets the message of what's happening to his country. Mm-hmm. The text says that he goes into the house of Yahweh, and specifically says he receives the letter from the messenger, and he prays. And it says, and this is the key link with the Ark of the Covenant, is that he prays to Yahweh who is enthroned above the cherubim. Mm. The implications are that he is just in the very same spot that Isaiah is in Isaiah 6, when he sees the Lord high and lifted up and the hem of his robe fills the temple. And so the Ark story is the story. And then now we have this piece that kind of fits in with what's going on. Either this is the letter that gives rise to this event that ultimately leads to this great rebellion, in which the Ark itself seems to have protected Jerusalem as a kind of palladium, if we think of this in the story of Troy, you know, where the palladium of Athena protects the city, and once it's removed, then the city can be destroyed. And so this big event in 701, I mean, why is Jerusalem saved? In some sense, part of that story, and maybe a missed part of that story, is God's presence in the temple. There was this belief that as long as it's there, the temple can never be destroyed. And that gets reflected in the next great crisis against the Babylonians.
No, Ark may not be there.
Right, right. So our film explores the oldest legends of the Ark of the Covenant. So again, it's called Legends of the Lost Ark. There are a multitude of legends, some fictitious like Indiana Jones, some quite grand and unlikely. Things like nuclear bombs are associated with it, batteries, Ethiopia, different parts of the UK, all these kind of outlandish theories. What we tried to do in the film and on the research that's behind the film, which is still ongoing, is if we are actually exploring this from a historical perspective, we can't actually go looking for the thing. There's no text telling us where it is, but there are these ancient texts that are a bit later than the destruction of the temple, and we can try to understand those texts on their own terms. Maybe they'll lead us to either the actual spot or, more likely, the place where people believe the ark was. And that process of essentially Second Temple Judeans grappling with the central question, what does it mean to lose the center of your faith? What does it mean for God's house to be destroyed? Yeah, it's not his idol, but the thing that centered his image, his living image, the Ark of the Covenant, his throne, the actual Bible, the Ten Commandments, and maybe the scrolls that went with it, the original, according to Deuteronomy and Second Kings, we have Josiah's, Hilkiah, the priest finds it. What does it mean to lose all of this? I'd say in some sense, the entirety of the Hebrew Bible is really building up to it getting there and then asking the question, okay, what does it mean now? It's a big question that I think is across the latter prophets, even in the New Testament. When we talk about the story of Pentecost, when God's spirit returns, it left in the days of Ezekiel. Where's it going to go? Is it going to go back into the house, or is it going to go into, spoiler alert, it goes into people. So it's kind of behind all these stories. And so real quickly, these three stories that we focused on, and I'd say there's basically like four outcomes.
Four major theories about what happened to the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes. One outcome is the Babylonians got it and they destroyed it. Find that in one of the sources. Doesn't really elaborate on that. We didn't really talk about it in the film, but it's certainly one of the possibilities.
We'll talk about the other three most intriguing possibilities about what happened to the Ark of the Covenant in our next program with Chris McKinney, Professor of Archaeology at Lipscomb University and Director of Research for the adventure documentary Legends of the Lost Ark. As I mentioned at the beginning of this program, that film is hitting the theaters right now, and that's why we're rebroadcasting this interview. We have a link to the documentary's website on our website at radioscribe.com. Also on our website, breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, plus information on our biblical archaeology news magazine, Artifacts. That's all at radioscribe.com. If you're listening on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, please give us a positive review so others can learn about this program. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.